Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore positively into the All-Star break around here. We're going to take a break from baseball in this segment. We're going to talk some football because we are, when the All-Star break comes, the next thing that happens, not just a trading deadline, and Luke gets to go to Wildwood, and I get to go to Mako and eat my 27 favorite things next month in our 27th anniversary. But we're gonna have some football going here this time next week. Luke Jones joins us now from his palatial estate in Pennsylvania after a week on the boardwalk. Max Pizza. He is properly tanned and filled with sunshine and sand and family love and all that. Just in time. I would say, Luke, I'd send your ass out to Westminster for Boggers pancakes and two-a-days, and you'd be there. But, as Flacco pointed out, this is cream puff stuff, this modern training camp that you speak of and cover, correct?
No doubt. I mean, I can remember my first couple. I mean, obviously, I went to training camp for years as a fan. I mean, I remember it was actually the summer of 2000. My best buddy and I, we probably went out there 4 or 5 times before we both went off to, I guess not college, but we had our own football camp because that was my senior year of high school. But yeah, it's a lot different than then, and I think back to 09 and 10, which were my two training camps that I did cover in Westminster. And
You never
yeah,
did one with Billick, though, right? You were only a
no,
Harbaugh guy, right?
09 was my
Billick worked with me by
first
the time
year.
you came around, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So, but I remember the 8:30 practice in Westminster and then the special teams practice at 3, I think it was. And oh, no shade. It was hot. All of that. I mean, okay, the Ray Lewis's and the Ed Reed's of the team, they usually didn't have to work in the afternoon, although sometimes they did, because sometimes it'd be a full-blown 2-a-day. But man, it's a far cry from those days, what you see now. And that's not to say that these guys aren't working hard, because they are, but it's definitely different. And
Westminster made things harder on them.
oh yeah, no question. And it's interesting to see. You've almost seen, you saw this trend for the last 15 years or so where teams stayed home, and now it's swung a little bit from some teams are starting to at least get away for part of camp. And that's where you kind of get into some of these joint practices and different things like that.
Well, they
But
took him, Harbaugh took him out to play the Rams, right? Didn't they? Did they went somewhere, didn't they? Didn't they get on a plane? Well, when they do the preseason games, they do
I
those
mean, that,
little, that's what they do now, right?
They've done that where they'll go out there instead of coming in the night before the preseason game, boom, you're out.
But they're not
They'll
going to Greenbrier the way Belichick would take the team
No.
down to Virginia or whatever, right?
No,
Yeah.
but you are finding a few more teams here and there starting to do a little bit more of that stuff again. So, it'll be interesting to see how it evolves, but yeah, I mean, this is, the Ravens are, they've got a preseason game against Indy. They have Dallas and Washington. They're going to have some joint practices. Indy coming here, and Washington, they're going to practice with the Commanders. So you do that. But yeah, the days of 2-a-days and all that, it's very much a gradual ramp up. You won't see any pads for the first few days. You won't see any hitting for the first few days. And even when they do hit, over the last few years, Nestor, man, if I'm just talking about practices in during training camp, the periods that are fully live, meaning tackling to the ground, man, I could probably count the reps on two hands and have fingers left over. I mean, they don't do that. I mean, they just don't. They didn't do much of that 10 years ago, or let alone the beginning of the John Harbaugh era necessarily. But boy, it's changed a lot. And I'm not saying that it's changed for the worse. I think there are elements of it that are better, but you do also have questions as far as, how do you start the season? And I think for this Ravens team that has Super Bowl expectations as high as any team in the league, right? I mean, they're right there with Kansas City and Buffalo and the AFC,
All the teams they play in September.
Philadelphia being a defending champion. Like, you look at the Ravens Super Bowl odds, they're as high as anyone's right now, as they should be.
I was at Cooper's Pub on Sunday, and I was watching the Frank Robinson rain delay. Terry's the manager there. He's been on two-time cancer star. Very optimistic Ravens fan in a general sense. Anybody knows Terry knows that, but he said this might be the best team we've ever had. This is like, who's going to stop this offense? Like, and look,
Getting the help in the secondary, and you and I talked about it for a minute as the mandatory close, what feels like about a month ago now, it's a couple weeks ago, and this thing's going to get on as fast. It happens like a wave, right? Like right now, it's like, oh, football season. So, oh, it's next,
It's
what?
a week
What do you say?
away, yeah.
What, you know, like trading deadline happens. I'm eating food next month, and we're playing football in Buffalo, right? Here we go. So it does happen quickly, but fortifying all that, the one thing Terry said to me, and I'll give him the shout out, is I think they're still going to sign Clowney or they're going to get somebody to get after the quarterback. And I think that that's a reasonable expectation. I think that might be the only reasonable expectation you and I would have is they'll add something, they'll lose something, they'll get to have an injury they don't want to have. All that will happen. But I think the pass rush is the one thing we're looking at. And the thing I brought up with him at the bar was I'm always worried about the offensive line. And I'm Ronnie Stanley, God bless him. You know, you mean like it's, I always feel like borrowed time with guys like him who are Humpty Dumpty, got put back together again under 6 foot 8 and 300 pounds, you know?
Yeah, and look, I would also venture to say that of the 32 teams, and even of the 10 teams, let's say, that fancy themselves as contenders, like serious contenders, of those 10, let's say, nine are talking about their offensive line right now. Everyone talks about their offensive line. No team has a perfect offensive line. And even if they have a starting five that they love, they're concerned about their depth because of what you just said. Because you know, chances are you're going to need at least a sixth or a seventh offensive lineman that's going to start at least a handful of games for you. So that is always a concern. I think for the Ravens, you know, when you look at it with their projected starting five, certainly we're going to point to the guards. We talked about the guards all last year, and they still coulda, shoulda, woulda won in Buffalo and had a chance to play in the AFC title game if they had, if Mark Andrews doesn't drop the ball, right? And or fumble it on the previous drive, or Lamar fumble in the first half, right? I mean, all these things we've talked about, they're in a very similar position. I mean, I've talked about this for several years now, Nestor, and you know this. I struggle this time of year to talk about the Ravens because there's only so much you can talk about beyond staying healthy, which is obviously a massive piece, which if there's a real legitimate concern that I have, it's they're not going to stay as healthy as they did last year because they stayed so healthy last year. And just knowing how difficult it is to repeat that because, yeah, you can talk all you want about your strength and conditioning and your training staff and recovery and rest and giving players practices off and vet days and things of that nature, but it's a full contact sport. And to the point we just made a couple minutes ago, you don't practice that in the summer for that very reason, but you also know that when the bullets start flying for real, then you're kind of at the mercy of you know, your maker in terms of whether guys are going to get healthy, whether someone's going to have a catastrophic injury because someone crashes into their knee in the way that happened to Joe Flacco a decade ago, right? I mean, we've all seen those things happen. So, but you know, to go back to the point you just made about, like, say, the pass rush, you know, the offensive line you mentioned, I still think there's a move to be made to add a veteran safety that you just feel good about as your number three and hopefully does a better job than Eddie Jackson did when he was signed a year ago at this time. But I think I look at that, but there are very few roster spots up for grabs right now, Nestor. I did a sizing up the Ravens 53-man roster, or sizing up just the roster at the end of mandatory minicamp, and obviously this was on the heels of them having signed Jaire Alexander. I was being generous. This was conservative of me to say that I think there are 45 spots all but locked up at this point in time. And it's probably the real number is probably closer to like 48 spots that are, for all intents and purposes, locked up. There are maybe three, four, five roster spots that are maybe up for grabs. That just speaks to how well balanced and talented this roster is. And that's not to say they don't have question marks. That's not to say that, sure, I'd entertain the idea of Jadeveon Clowney being signed at the right price, right? Just using that example because you mentioned it. I certainly would be interested in adding a corner. If there's a veteran offensive lineman to be had that could be a depth piece for you for the interior offensive line, because you don't have Patrick McCary anymore, and you know Josh Jones is gone also, and you know you're kind of looking at, okay, you hope Voorhees can do left, you know, can handle left guard.
Who knows what's going to happen with Ben Cleveland as far as a potential suspension, you know, whether he's going to be suspended a couple games because of a DUI. Daniel Faalele is the most entrenched out of those three names that I mentioned, but you know, he's not Marshall Yanda. So I'd hear a veteran O-lineman, but how many of those guys really shake free? We've talked about that scenario playing out probably every year over the last 5 or 6 summers, and how many times has it actually happened? It doesn't happen. So this roster, for the most part, barring a stray veteran signing or barring a catastrophic injury or two, which you have to at least acknowledge the possibility, this roster is very much set. And look, that's a good thing. That's a compliment to them. But it also makes this time of year kind of like, all right, let's get going. Let's get going, but let's not get hurt before Buffalo, right? I mean, that's kind of where you are, because everything about this team points to Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl contender. But this is the space they've been in for several years now, right? From the moment that Lamar Jackson was MVP 6 years ago, they've been in this space.
Well, and that's where, you know, I will interrupt you. Luke Jones is here, Baltimore Luke. We're going to talk football here all summer long as we get into this. But the veteran players they have, the high-paid players, Humphrey, Stanley. I mean, let's let Lamar be Lamar. I mean, if I disparage Lamar in any way, you'll jump in and start reading stats to me and tell me he's the Superman, right? Great. And that's cool. But older, you know, whether he's faster, stronger, better, I mean, he's definitely throws the ball better than he ever did. At some point, he's not going to run as well as he used to. At some point last year, it felt like he didn't want to run as much. But that's where Derrick Henry comes in. And that's where I say, I go back to all my old tweets. If they got Derrick Henry, they'd be unstoppable. That's the word I use, is unstoppable. And that was before they didn't run the ball against Chiefs 2 years ago or against Buffalo 2 years ago. So for me, the Derrick Henry piece, the Marlon Humphrey piece, the Ronnie Stanley piece, Jaire Alexander, you know, these guys that are 29 or 30 or 31 or 32, and they're making a lot of money and they got a lot. Mark Andrews, great example. They got all these pelts on the wall. I mean, I'll let the Zay Flowers and the Rosengartens, and I'll put Roquan into the veteran side of that too. All these guys that, as my friend Dave Muir would always say about Mike Messina, much to the chagrin of Mark, who I'm hoping to get together with this week, a nude ring finger. That's what David Muir would say, nude ring finger. What Billick used to say about the Eagles fans, so they've won two now. And so none of these guys have won anything. And you know what they've won? The house of excuses after they've lost the big game for whatever the reason. Lamar wasn't good enough. Lamar wasn't there. Our defense didn't play well enough. Our kicker wasn't good enough. The weather was bad. The running game was bad. The defense was bad. Whatever. Mark Andrews dropped the ball. Whatever it is, whatever the excuses were, they none of them have won. And now that Tucker's gone, who's the ultimate loser, by the way, and I'm not. They may think that's blown over. It hasn't blown over Baltimore Positive, I assure you. For the 16 women, it hasn't blown over, I'm sure. But I would say for them, the veteran guys. I'm not blaming this on Flowers or whatever, you know, the corner we drafted last year is going to be once he starts playing and he really playing and he becomes the guy making $24 million a year. But those key 30-year-old men that have lost six times, that they go back so far that I used to have a press credential back when I was a real media member, and I would sit there and look at them at their locker after they lost an end of the year game that wasn't during COVID, because COVID changed a lot of things and they were all a part of all of that. But there's not a lot of reason for them to have confidence in January, right? They go 13-4, whatever it is, 15-2, whatever it is, when they go into it. Now, I'll say this, Kansas City hasn't had the best team in a couple of years. I mean, Kansas City's getting by on Taylor Swift and their fat quarterback, according to whoever that sports radio guy was. I'll take their fat quarterback anytime. So he wins, and their coach wins, and our coach doesn't win. And when the rubber meets the road, Marlon Humphrey's got a lot of bougie about him, and not,
Put up or shut up. I see the nude ring finger. I see Jalen Ramsey still running around picking teams, right? We're gonna have to deal with him. So the Steelers are trying to win with Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, poor Mike Tomlin hanging on for dear life up there. But they made the playoffs last year. I mean, like, they're, these things that we look at, we're so much better than them, and we're top three talent and all that. Well, some asses got to roll when you're a top three talent every year for a decade and you don't win. Because every year we talk about them like this, and every year they got to go play Buffalo in Kansas City in January, whoever the next girl down the line is. Maybe it's Donald Trump's other best friend, Jim Harbaugh. Maybe it's the Chargers that move into that spot that because they have a quarterback, right? I'm trying to think of teams that have Cincinnati. I'm always worried about Cincinnati because I think that kid's the best of all of them. I really do. If you gave me any of the quarterbacks, I'd probably take Burrow. Injury aside and all that, at this point, next 5 years, I'll take Burrow. I mean, I just will. But a screwed up organization in a lot of ways, and Hendrickson, just all the things that are going on out there. I look at the big picture of all of this, and I want to see Mark Andrews bounce back from not just dropping the ball, but not walking like a man and even showing up at the podium 5 minutes later, and he's off making television commercials. Like, the lack of accountability, if that makes me an old man, fine. But that's where I have a problem with Trump. That's where I have a problem with Sashi Brown. That's where I have a problem with Katie Greggs. You're in front of it, be in front of it. Be in front of it for everybody, not that just the people that you like are going to kiss your ass. Take the tough questions. That's the job. That is the job for all of them. And the tough questions come when you spit up your meal every year in January and you don't have choke, but you have CHO. You know what I mean? At this point, Lamar does for sure. And it ain't about Lamar. And, I mean, they didn't, Lamar put the ball between the eight and the nine, right? You got to catch it, right? So. I would just say for them, there's a lot of scrutiny above and beyond. Like, can they win week one? Can they win week three? Dude, I look at their September schedule, worries me. This is the toughest September schedule they've ever had, ever. I don't ever remember a September where expectations are sky high, where disappointment is stacked up for this franchise, as well as in Buffalo. I mean, they're just as frustrated as we are, worse. We've had two parades. But I would say, Buffalo, Detroit, Kansas City, seeing all that, training camp has to be extra powder puff because they have to be a really good team in September, not round into a good team by the time they see Pittsburgh in November or December. Because, look, man, I'm always ready to bury the Steelers. I mean, I've been sending Tomlin texts trying to bury him since he started Kumbaya with Aaron Rodgers on AI, doing yoga classes and doing ayahuasca. That was probably March I started texting him, and now he's the quarterback, and maybe I'll make a trip up to Latrobe. You get up there, I do like the western part of Maryland, see what's going on. But the Ravens, the expectations amongst bettors, amongst fans, of which I used to be one of them, and thinking about this disappointment and this veteran cast of guys who all want to have their name up on the on the facade as Ring of Honor and all that. You ain't Ed Reed, you ain't Ray Lewis, you ain't Joe Flacco, you ain't Anquan Boldin from, you ain't Matt Burke for me yet.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, this isn't rocket science. And look, they had a, they played Kansas City and Buffalo last September. They also lo they lost at Kansas City. All right, week one, Isaiah Likely the toe. They came home and they laid an egg against the Raiders in week two, 0-2. That right there is the difference between playing up in Orchard Park and Mark Andrews dropping the ball in that stadium compared to the Ravens playing in Baltimore.
It
Now,
got so bad that
and
John Harbaugh was texting me good morning last year when they were 0-2, trying to get me back on his side. That's
so,
how desperate John was.
and look, starting 0-2 did not ruin their season, did not cost them the playoffs, did not cost them the division or any of that, but it did cost them their shot at home field in at least the second round, right? I mean, in Kansas City finished what? They had one loss until week 18 or whatever it was. Maybe they never, maybe the number one seed was never going to be in the cards for them, unless they won at Kansas City week one and just completely rolled, steamrolled the entire year. But
They at least could have had home field in the divisional round, and that makes a big difference. So that's where I think the lesson, if you're John Harbaugh, if you step into his shoes and you're trying to think like he's thinking, that's why all summer you got to be talking about, guys, we got to start fast. We can't start 0-2 again. Like, we've got to start fast. We've got to come out of the gate ready. And it's not as though they were horrible against Kansas City in week one. I mean, they were a likely toe away from having a chance to win that game with if that's a touchdown and you go for two, you go for the win. So it's not as though they came out and they were horrible, but they weren't firing on all cylinders out of the gate. And that cost them. And that cost them what we're talking about here. This is, and the,
Chasing
here,
their tail all
but
year
here's the
because they were going
difference.
to have to go play in Buffalo no matter
Sure,
what, right?
because so here's the difference. You just mentioned Pittsburgh. The Steelers would do cartwheels. Steelers fans would probably do cartwheels right now if you told them that
They're
Aaron
six and
Rodgers,
six.
well, if they can win a playoff game, like if they could win a playoff game this year,
If they can just
they,
be 6-6, they have a good year. If they
and
get to
they have a shot.
Thanksgiving and have a shot, then they've done a good job with Aaron Rodgers because the Jets didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Sure.
but the Steelers are a better franchise,
But
better
that's what they've
coach,
been.
better
But
all
that's
of
what they've
that.
been. That's what they've been for several years now. Like, they're that fringe team that's finding a way to get in the playoffs. And even though Mike Tomlin doesn't say this or feel this, probably, but in his brain, he probably knows, yeah, we were kind of the team that's been happy to be there when we're getting bounced in the wild card round because we're not very good. Because that's what happens when you have seven teams in each conference making the playoffs now. But the Ravens aren't that. Like, no one's going to be happy with a wild card spot. No one cares about winning a wild card playoff game. This team needs to get to a Super Bowl. To your point,
But if they're 2-2 on October 1st, it doesn't
then
mean they stink. It means that they beat either the Lions or the Bills or the Chiefs, right? I mean, like, and they beat the Browns, I guess.
Well, they better beat the Browns. But
But
yeah,
thinking they're going to be 4-0 on October 1st and smell like that team, or 3-1 with impressive victories and narrow losses because Tyler Loop missed a kick against the Lions or something, like. I mean, I'm just trying to set an expectation here
sure.
that isn't Super Bowl guaranteed. Believe that. I
Oh,
mean, all right, all right.
any of the guaranteed stuff is just silly. I mean, that's just bravado in the offseason. Now, you can be confident, you can be optimistic, you can absolutely believe that they have as good a chance as anyone
I
to
which I
do it.
do, which I
Yeah,
do. I honestly do.
exactly. But until they do it,
I wouldn't bet on them, though. You know why? Let me put the L up again. I wouldn't bet on them because I've met Marlon Humphrey. I wouldn't bet on them
okay.
because they haven't won. I wouldn't bet on them because
I
Humphrey,
mean, would you bet on
Staley,
Buffalo?
all these guys are getting older,
Let
right?
me ask,
So
would you bet on Buffalo either though? They've
I wouldn't
fallen
bet on
short.
Kansas City, but that's shame on me. And I wouldn't bet on Pittsburgh. Shame on me. And
But I'm just,
I wouldn't bet against Cincinnati because I like their quarterback.
I
And I
wouldn't bet
think
on
Jim
Cincinnati.
Harbaugh's a witch, and he's got a quarterback and no fans and no pressure and sunshine, and they play in La La and they play in an easier division and just a lot of things. So I'm trying to figure out where the balance of power will be, but it won't be in the Browns and Steelers taking
No.
the crown from the Ravens. And that won't happen early in the year anyway, because all those games are backloaded. I mean, they're front loaded with the most important games of the year, which is getting the pelt. And again, to your point, they beat the snot out of the Bills last year when it didn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I just, and that's where I struggle. I don't care about the regular season. I care about it, fully understanding that you have to put in the requisite work, right? There is nothing they can do in the regular season that's going to, quote, prove that they're going to, that this January is going to be different because of what you just said. They beat the living snot out of the Bills in Sunday Night Football in week four last year, and that didn't matter in January. And to be clear, if they lose to the Bills or if they lose to Kansas City early in the year, that doesn't guarantee that they won't do it in January, but it's certainly not going to make you
Yeah, to
feel
your
any
point,
more
dude, if they're
confident.
9-1 on Halloween and Lamar's setting records again and everybody's healthy and
All that's saying is they have a chance to have home field advantage. And look, 2 years ago they had that. 6 years ago they had that, and that didn't matter. The 2000 Ravens were road warriors after wild card weekend. Same with the 2012
I'm
Ravens.
holding my L
So
up for them. They all
again,
have to own that, and
that's
that's the
fine.
heaviest burden.
It's
Of not
their
July, that's the
biggest
heaviest burden
challenge.
of every day from July through January.
The biggest challenge for this football team, wholeheartedly, is between the ears right now. It just is. And I don't say that to be mean. It's their history. These guys, I think to a man, if you gave them truth serum and not the rah-rah stuff that you're going to hear at the podium, when the microphones are on, but they'd all say, yeah, we got to do it in January. Like, gosh, we've set records, Pro Bowls, MVP quarterback, all pro positions on both sides of the football. Guys that on this roster that have a chance to be Hall of Fame players, when you're talking about Lamar, maybe Kyle Hamilton one day, right? I mean, you're talking about elite of elite talent at multiple positions, but until you do it in January, there's always going to be something that feels lacking about this. And I don't say that with any disrespect. Buffalo is having the same conversations right now with Josh Allen and that cast. Right? Everyone in the AFC that's not Kansas City. Okay, the Bengals got to the Super Bowl once 4 years ago. They didn't win it. So they're still, there's still that for all of those teams. The only teams right now that are fat and happy, no pun intended on the, you mentioned the Patrick Mahomes thing, which was just hilarious. I mean, it just speaks to sports talk radio in June and July is not
That's
fun.
why I don't participate in
Yeah.
sports talk radio
So,
anymore.
You have Kansas City and you have Philadelphia. Now, Kansas City's ticked off because they got embarrassed in the Super Bowl. And Philadelphia, who's fat and happy right now, and that doesn't mean that they're not going to be really good again this year, but they're the team that they can bask in the limelight right now. They can bask in knowing that they're getting they got their rings and they're going to be raising a banner on opening night and all of that. Everyone else, they're like the Ravens. They're chasing it. Right. And the Ravens have been in that bridesmaid territory, but never the bride for several years now. If not now, then when? And that's where you do look at it, Mark Andrews, other guys that are on expiring deals, guys that are on the wrong side of 30 now. Lamar's 28. Lamar, that he's not in that category as far as like looking at the end of his career. But Ronnie Stanley, he may have just signed his last contract. We don't know. That might be the last deal that he signs. We don't know. Mark Andrews probably isn't going to be a Raven next year, because I assume they're going to re-sign Isaiah Likely instead. So for those guys and those guys having already seen guys already leave over the last few years that were, look at Patrick McCary. He's not a Ring of Honor guy, but he was a big part of what they did on offense the last 5, 6 years. You see those guys go away and more guys will go away next year. You just say, wow, if not now, then when? And I've said that for a few years now. I'm a broken record. Wholeheartedly admit it. But that's what I felt about this team. I think they've been ready. They've been in position to do it for several years now, but you got to go do it. And that's where the mental part, I think these guys are, they've got to handle that part of it. And they've handled it in the regular season just fine, right? I mean, it's not as though they've had a year where they've had this major step back, 2021, kind of sort of, but they were so injured that year. But they've just got to be ready to, one, position themselves to be there in January, and that includes home field, ideally. And two, when you get to that stage, just got to do it, man. This isn't rocket science. You need your stars to be stars. I've said this so many times now, and it's still true, and it's still the truth, and it hurts. But you know what? Buffalo's saying the same kind of things, right? So, you got to topple Kansas City. You got to get out of the tournament and get to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, anything short of that is going to be
Where's the Super
disappointing.
Bowl this year? That since I stopped
It's
going, I don't know.
it's in San Francisco. Well, what, Santa Clara?
Santa Clara?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pissed at Chad Steele for not letting me come this year. That'd be a fun one out there in San Francisco. Maybe
Yeah,
I'll go
yeah.
anyway. That'd be
Leave
fun.
what Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. So, anything short of a Super Bowl, it's disappointment at this point. And if that's unreasonable, then you don't have very high regard for what the Ravens have been the last few years. And not you, just in general. The expectation should be a Super Bowl at this point. If it's not, then hey, it's a lot of fun. These guys have been a blast to watch in the regular season, but we know legacies are defined in January. And until this team really genuinely breaks through, there's going to be the asterisk. You're holding up the L. It's the asterisk, right? I mean, this era, this last 5, 6 years, and this will be my final thought. This last 5, 6 years has easily been the best the Ravens have been in it from a regular season standpoint in terms of talent, stats, balance, elite offense, still a really good to great defense for the most part. all of that. But it's about Super Bowls. We know that. It goes back to the promise Lamar Jackson made the night he was drafted, right? And he knows that. He'd be the first to tell you that, to be very clear. It's about that. For this group, for this era of guys that is going to include a few Ring of Honor players at the very least, if not more than a few, over the next decade, as they're doing those ceremonies at the stadium. There's all of them have a yeah, but attached to their resume right now. And it's about breaking through and winning a Super Bowl. Go back to the Brian Billick line. Man, the time is here. It's time to go to a Super Bowl. You can't do that in August, but that's what this year is all about. And if we're sitting here having the same exact conversation a year from now, Nestor, it's going to be disappointing. And we're going to be saying the same thing. If not now, then when?
Santa Clara, and then Inglewood. They're going to SoFi again. So two Californias in a row, and then Atlanta in 28, and they haven't given 29 or 30. I would think they'll go back to Vegas, before it's all over with. Phoenix, they also like, and obviously down in South Florida. I wouldn't think they'll do Tampa ever again or Jacksonville. I guess they would go to Miami again, but London, maybe, who knows? They did New Orleans again. So, and Dallas, right? Jerry's going to want one soon. So we got all that going on. Luke Jones is here. He will be there at training camp all next week. He's monitoring all things Orioles and All-Star and Ryan O'Hearn and trading deadline and through with Wildwood and Max Pizza. My turn comes next month. 27 of my favorite things to eat for our 27th anniversary coming up. We got a couple of crab cake tour stops this week. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.